The reading is from Luke 9, starting at verse 51. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered the village of the Samaritan to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
Okay, it's really nice to see you this morning, everyone, and be with you and just share with you in this glorious feast that we enjoy week by week with having being seated at the Lord's table. I don't mean just the communion, but Jesus is here. And he's sharing his wonderful table and his feast with us so that we can eat and drink of him as we hear his word and pray together, sing together. I know we can't hear each other, but we are together. The Lord's body isn't divided. Hallelujah. Even though physically we're not together, but in the Holy Spirit, we are one body in Christ. And nothing and no one, man, demon, or any regulations can ever separate us from the love of Christ, love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Just want to pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word that teaches us and guides us and corrects us and shows us the way we should go. And we do pray, Lord, as we look into it briefly this morning, that you would speak into all of our hearts. And feed us, Lord, with that heavenly manna, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Luke chapter 9 is quite a chapter. There's the feeding of the 5,000. There's the revelation of Jesus' glory on the mount. There is Peter's confession of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here we have some incidents that happen along the way. And to me, these incidents that we've just been reading about speak of discipleship. And that's the theme that's in my mind this morning as I just share this brief meditation with you. So going straight in to the first section, verse 51 to 55, Jesus knew what was ahead. He'd said, verse 22 of chapter 9, he says this, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. And then verse 51 of chapter 9, when he knew that the time had come for him to be received up or to ascend back to heaven to his glory, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So the Lord knew what was ahead, and he wanted his disciples to know the kind of things that they will be facing if they wanted to follow him in this life, to the glory that will follow. And so, first of all, we have the this incident where he's going through Samaria, and they come to a particular village, and he sent messengers, some of his disciples, ahead of him to prepare for him. And that particular village didn't want Jesus. They didn't want his message. They weren't interested at that time. Maybe later on they were, because we read in Acts chapter 8 that many Samaritan villages turned to the Lord. But this particular time they didn't want the Lord. And so James and John, who the Lord gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder or sons of commotion, they were really, I don't know what you could call them. Anyway, they had a fiery nature. They had a fiery nature. And so they say to the Lord, Lord, you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did. And that was quite an extreme measure, I think, that they were wanting to do there. And the Lord turned, he took his time, he turned and he rebuked them, and he said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. That might be in a footnote if you've got a modern version other than the New King James, okay? But it's there in the text. You do not know what manner of spirit you're of. And he wants his disciples to know what kind of spirit he puts in us. So I just want to take us briefly, Isaiah chapter 43. He is the spirit of consolation, not of indignation. When Elisha was, that incident that the disciples mentioned, God was passing judgment on his on the peoples that Elisha dealt with there in the name of the Lord. And there's some very instructive things further on from when the fire comes down, but we won't go into that now because of time. You can find that in 2 Kings. This is the spirit that Jesus puts into you and me. Chapter Isaiah 43, verses starting at verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and you and me too, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Think of Daniel's friends. Nor shall the flames scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place, since you were precious in my sight. You have been honored, and I have loved you. What a wonderful spirit of consolation dwells within us. This is the Lord speaking to you and me this morning, beloved, and he is saying to you, if you're passing through the fire, in your particular family situation, if you're passing through waters of grief, of sorrow, fires of trial, the Lord says to you, I will be with you. The fire shall not scorch you, nor shall the waters drown you. That's a wonderful promise. This is God's promise to you and me, beloved, today. In our particular lockdown situation, in the midst of a pandemic, God says, not only I will be with you, but I am with you. And that wonderful promise at the end of Matthew, in the Greek, it says, the words literally run, I with you am. So it's God, it's with you, being embraced by I am. Hallelujah. The Lord embraces us and he carries us. I will be with you. He carries us by his spirit of consolation. Turn back a little further to Isaiah chapter 11, and we read about the spirit who would be on the rod of Jesse, which is the Messiah, our Lord Jesus. And we read this, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And you remember that the Spirit came down like a dove. He's very gentle. The Holy Spirit comes as a dove to speak peace to our hearts and to our minds, to give us the rest, to give us rest in a weary world. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. He comes to give us wisdom as we grapple with homeschool, with our children. He gives us wisdom as we think about what to do today when life is no longer what it was in the normal sense of the word. How do we occupy our time? What, Lord, do you want me to do today? We pray like that, God will give us wisdom, because James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and without reproach, and it shall be given him. But let him or her ask in faith. It's important that we hold on to faith, and that we don't think, we don't drown in the midst of all the things that we see on TV, the daily statistics or stuff that we read on the internet, which tells us it's all a huge conspiracy. Flowing out of somewhere across the world. Why, it isn't, because God is in control of our lives, and God will not allow you and me to fall into anything that is not his will. The Holy Spirit comes to warn us, to correct us, to show us the right way to go. And bless his wonderful name. He's the Spirit of counsel and might. He's the power of God to enable us to do what God wants us to do. And he's also the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one who connects us with God, who teaches us to know God by reading his word, studying his word, letting his word speak to us, either through our earphones or reading it or listening to it as you are right now, or any other way that the word can be ministered to us, and there seems to be dozens of ways these days. God ministers by his Holy Spirit the knowledge of himself to you and me. The new covenant that Jesus brought in by his blood, by the blood of the covenant, which we have just celebrated, is exactly this. They shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. And I'm glad God starts with the least. From the least to the greatest, they shall all know me. We have that great and wonderful privilege of knowing God. And God, that knowledge of God isn't the head knowledge, it's heart knowledge. Knowing him who has loved us with an everlasting love, and that we are in union with him by our Lord Jesus Christ, giving his life for us. And as we repent, turn from our own ways, and put our trust in Jesus by a deliberate act of our will at a definite time and place in our lives, that we say, Jesus, I'm handing my life over to you, and I'm not going to go my own way anymore. When we do that, God comes into our life and the miracle of new birth takes place. And after that, Jesus is teaching us on the road. So let's go back to chapter 9. And the Lord says, I didn't come to destroy people, I came to save them. And he's teaching the disciples this, to have a heart of love and compassion and pity for those who are lost. And there are many lost. There are lots of good people, even churchgoers, who are lost because they don't have a relationship with God. And I was like that for many years. But praise God, Jesus comes, and as we walk along the road, we meet him. So back to chapter 9, verse 57. As they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, because he designed them to live that way. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus was a homeless person. Have you thought about that? Jesus was homeless. He started life as a refugee, and then he became homeless in his adult life. He had no certain dwelling place. And he's saying to this man here, okay, you say you follow me. Are you willing to be homeless like me? Are you willing to do without? Are you willing to move out of your comfort zone and live the way that I'm living? Well, we moved out of our comfort zone to go to Thailand back in the early 80s. And I always remember the first time that I sat in a villager's house, very poor villager's house, and they offered us a meal, which was a roast rat on a plate. And that was certainly outside my comfort zone. But, you know, God, when God calls us out of our comfort zone, he shows us ways of keep coping with that. And I'm sure there are others who are listening to me who have had to face such things. God helps you through. One of the great privileges of my life was to meet a homeless man whose name was Pastor Hom. And I met him in a refugee camp, and he was at the center of a move of the Holy Spirit that brought thousands of Cambodian refugees to know Jesus Christ. He was in Cambodia, living in his village, and God showed him a golden key. And he said, I'm going to put this key in your hands to open the kingdom of heaven to your people. And sometime later, he was a refugee in Thailand, and he and his little flock decided to share the gospel in the camp. And as they began to share, the Spirit began to move, and thousands of people believed in Jesus Christ in that camp. And I was there in 1979, early 1980, and the presence of the Holy Spirit was like a breath of heaven, and nowhere else in Thailand could you feel like that at that time. Pastor Hom was made homeless, but in his homelessness, he discovered God in a miraculous new way and a very powerful new way. And I sat in his shack for 2 hours listening to him telling me what God was doing in the camp of Khao I Dang at that time. And then verse 59 and 60, as the Lord gives this wonderful, gracious invitation, the great invitation, follow me. Imagine that Jesus said that to you. Well, he is saying it to you and me today. Follow me today. In where you are at today, in your situation today, follow me. I'm ahead of you. Come after me. The word literally means come after me. I'm ahead of you. I'm walking ahead of you in this. Jesus walks ahead of us in everything. Glory to his wonderful name. And he walked to the cross before the disciples. And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. That's in Luke 9, verse 23. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. And the cross meant literally being willing to go to public execution. That's what happened to Jesus. But for you and me, well, I'll quote my dear friend Oswald Chambers, who says this, the cross of discipleship is that I daily and hourly delight to tell my human nature that I am not my own, that I no longer claim my right to myself. We have, in the light of Jesus Christ, we have no rights. He made himself of no reputation and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that he might rescue you and me out of the out of what we were in sin and under the influence of an evil spirit called Satan, the prince of darkness. Jesus did that for you and me, beloved, because he loves us with an everlasting love. And he said to this man, follow me. And the man said, Lord, me first. Now, there's a contradiction in terms. You can't say, Lord, me first. If you say, Lord, it's me last. It's me nowhere, actually. It's you first, second, and third, and me nowhere. And he said, let me first go and bury my father. Well, that sounds like a reasonable request. But actually, in the context of the culture he was living in, his father could well have been very much alive for the next 20 years. So he was saying to the Lord, just let me wait until my father passes away, then I'll follow you. I met a man in a refugee camp who was a Lao elder of his people, and he said the very same thing to me. He said, I want to follow Jesus Christ, but I want to wait until my father's passed away, because then I can do the customs and I can then follow Jesus. But you know what Jesus says to you and me? Don't delay. If the call of Jesus comes, don't delay. The call comes at the flood. Take the wave. Go with the surf. Take it. Go. Because it won't come like that another year of your life, possibly. If it comes now, take it now. yield to Jesus and follow him. So Jesus said, you follow me. Let the dead, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. You've got work to do. Don't delay. Follow me now. And then lastly, the man who said to the Lord, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Here's another me first. And again, the Lord says something seemingly quite stern. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And Roger shared with us a couple of weeks ago how if you don't have your eye fixed on a mark, then you're not going to plow a straight furrow. And God wants you and me to plow a straight furrow through the very time that we're living in. Matthew Henry said this as Christians, and he lived just down the road in Chester a few hundred years ago, and he lived through some tumultuous times. We'll go into that. But anyway, he said to his flock, he said, think kindly, speak kindly, and act kindly, and people will know that you belong to Jesus Christ. So Jesus said to this man, don't look back. Now, Jesus, it seems a stern word, but Jesus knows all men. He knew that this man, if he went home, wouldn't come back. If he went back to his relatives, he might get entangled in all sorts of things, because the devil's very clever at laying traps for us. And there are times when we even have to say no to our nearest and dearest if we want to follow Jesus. Even Jesus had to do that. His family came when he was preaching one day, and they wanted to take him back home and give him a cup of tea and calm him down. And Jesus said, who are my kith and kin? He said, it's you and you and you and you who are listening to me, giving you the word of God. You are my brother. You are my sister. You are my mother. You know, and Jesus' mother, she said some wonderful things. We have her song in the scriptures, but the most wonderful thing she said about her son was, whatever he says to you, do it. And I just want to conclude by thinking, maybe I hope this man was one of the 70. I hope he didn't look back, but he went with Jesus when Jesus sent him out with the 70 to preach the gospel, to share this wonderful, glorious news, which the Lord has committed to you and me that we should go and do. I want to finish by turning us to Philippians very briefly and read a couple of verses in Philippians. Firstly, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, where, you know, sometimes we read these words and we think, wow, that's a hard thing to do. But the words that the Lord is giving us here are for the life that he puts in, the life of his Holy Spirit. There's no way that we can follow Jesus in the road that he went unless we have the life of the Holy Spirit in us. Because it's only the Holy Spirit who's able to love Jesus as he should be loved. It's only the Holy Spirit who can teach us and work in us that obedience to the will of God. And we have that right here, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. Therefore, very familiar verses, but I just want to read them. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, this is Jesus talking, work out your own salvation with fear, that's godly fear, reverence, and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So God's at work in you and me, beloved, to desire his will and then to do it. And the Holy Spirit gives us that ability. Praise his wonderful name. And lastly, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Here we are. Paul says, there's one thing I've got to do. Now, when we think of the fire, calling fire down from heaven to zap people, Jesus said, you've got to be of a different spirit. And Jesus can turn the lion to a lamb. He took Saul and made him Paul. And this is what Paul wrote. He said this, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, the good as well as the bad, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We're on the road with Jesus. Paul, the man who was a persecutor of Christians, carried people to jail and to the ultimate penalty. Jesus forgave all his sin, wiped the slate clean, and then sent him out to do a work. Hallelujah. And he does the same with you and me. And he says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the finishing tape. Press toward the goal. Forget what's behind. This is today. This is the 24 hours God has given us. Let's live for him today. And the Holy Spirit will enable us to do that. Praise his wonderful name. Glory to God. I just want to pray to close our meditation. Lord, we thank you. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have promised never to fail us, nor to forsake us, never to abandon us in the midst of our trials and difficulties and the things that you call us to go through, because you are ahead of us and you're with us and you're bearing us up. Hallelujah. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus, that you are the true and the living God, and that we can commit our lives to you, trusting you absolutely to be true to your word and to your promises. Because there are so many millions who have found it before us and right now in this world today, who are finding the same as Pastor Hom did, that as we share you with others, we find you right in the midst of us. Glory to your wonderful name. And although we can't do that in the way we're used to, in these days, Lord, we look forward to the days when we shall be able to do it again. And in the meantime, Lord, we pray you'd help us to do those little acts of kindness, forgiveness, that show that we are really wanting to be your followers. In your precious name we pray. Amen.